Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ifrit.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Ifrit. We are the Unhallowed Reviewers, and we are back for another week of horror movie fun things.
Horror movie fun times.
Woo! Like...
Okay, anyway. Let's just jump. We have a ton of news to cover today, so let's just jump into it.
All sorts of stuff.
Midsommar has a new trailer that came out, and I'm more excited than I was before. It looks really cool.
I am too.
Uh-oh.
I think that it looks super. What?
You like?
Could you tell by the tone of my voice that I was gonna go somewhere? Yeah, uh-huh. You're right. I can't. Like, I feel like part of the reason that I'm really excited is that I'm like, oh, this looks really good because, Ari Astrid, whatever the director's name is, I'm close. To what?
Ad Astra.
Ad Astra. Nope, no, that's the movie. Oh, man. Oh, spoilers.
Ari, yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, that guy. We all are so excited to see his next movie after Hereditary was so good. And so, like, I'm watching this trailer, and I'm like, it looks like he's going to carry over, you know, the quality of filmmaking that he does to this movie. And I'm all excited. And then I kind of start thinking about how there are elements of this movie that look really similar to Wicker Man, and that's notoriously terrible. In particular, the remake. But
people
I think
like
both
Wicker Man,
though.
Every time I hear someone talk about it, it's like, I guess maybe people just talk about Wicker Man a lot. Because
well,
I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast numerous times.
We've talked about it because it's notoriously terrible. It's infamously awful. Like, the remake in particular. The original, you can say it has some merit, but I still think it's boring as crap. I think it's so hard to get through.
Fair enough.
The remake with Nicolas Cage if anybody says they love it, they love it ironically.
You don't get to decide that for people, okay? Maybe there's someone
I do.
Who really okay then, never mind. You're so assertive.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage told his children that they wouldn't be in the Will anymore if they didn't like that movie, and they still said they didn't like it.
Is that true?
No, but that's just how much it sucks.
Interesting. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it could be fun. I'm interested to see. And Norwegian Colts are just weirder than regular Colts. I mean, think about the ritual.
I mean, they're really the best kind. I mean, because it's really like just a supernatural step above Nazis.
Okay then.
Well, you know, because blonde hair, blue-eyed people.
Oh, I get it
now.
Yes, okay.
There you go.
I see. But anyway, I'm thinking of, like, The Ritual. Like, that movie is, like, vaguely Norwegian, isn't it? Aren't the people in that movie from, like,
yeah, it's got that Scandinavian god type thing, yeah.
So, there
you
go.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that movie was, that movie is legit.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of other legit things, there's a few things I want to talk about. Well, sorry, that's probably not the best segue because actually, let's go into this other thing. So, the guy who created Samurai Jack, Genndy Tartakovsky, is creating a new, awesome, legit animated show called Primal, and the trailer is legit epic. It
looks so good.
He's just this dude fighting like prehistoric like dinosaurs and messing them up, and it's like raw and bloody and looks really cool. It's like a Neanderthal. Turok.
It's like Turok meets Samurai Jack, and like they had a baby, and it was raised by rated R anime. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I'm super excited for it because like I don't know, it's things from him have always really been interesting to me, and while I haven't watched all of Samurai Jack, I really liked it when it came out. It was really new, and it's the same guy I think that actually did Dexter's Laboratory too.
It is, and Powerpuff Girls.
So I'm like all in because I love all of those shows as a kid and as an adult.
Yeah, like his stuff has this like feeling of being like very childish and very much for kids, but it's got this like nuanced adult like thematic material into it a lot of the time, and that like really. You can't pick up, like, every generation can pick up on something else. Like, every episode of his stuff is like a Disney movie, in which, like, half of the material only an adult would get, but it looks designed for children.
A lot of that was happened with like Cartoon Network for a long time. I mean, actually forever. Like Adventure Time, Flapjack, Gumball, like all those shows are like meant for both kids and adults. The regular show, like all that stuff. Yeah. So, but something else that's meant specifically for adults, but not for kids at all, is actually Black Mirror. I guess we're going to talk about that. No, actually, let's talk about
you
this.
Crazy
stuff.
Segue.
No, this is something that was meant for kids, but actually ended up being for adults, and it's a kind of a funny news story. I saw it and I thought it was kind of fake, but it actually ended up being real. And what happened was a theater, I think somewhere in I don't remember actually where. But a theater somewhere was, people were in it to see Detective Pikachu, and so they were there to see the new release of Detective Pikachu this weekend. And as the trailers started to roll, some of the trailers were kind of weird. Like, they were like, there's a Child's Play trailer, which was kind of like, okay, like, that's weird. It's the teaser, so it's not like a full trailer as far as I know. So it was like, oh, that's kind of crazy.
The full trailer would be too much.
Because the teaser for Child's Play is kind of creepy. And then it segues directly into The Curse of La Llorona, which the first scene has, like, children dying. And so, like, they just got thrown, these kids who were there to see Detective Pikachu with their parents and family, all just got tossed into seeing La Llorona. And I don't know why I find that so hilarious.
I also find it funny. It's like, even more egregious. The error is even more egregious because they're not in any way similar.
Mm-hmm.
But it does remind me of all of the issues that Sausage Party had when it came out.
Oh, really?
Of people, like, I think there were situations in which parents took their kids to it because they thought it was a kid's movie. Mm-hmm. And then there were other instances where it got mixed up at the theater and nobody figured it out until it was too late. And stuff's happening in that movie and, like, kids are, like, you know, it reminded me of, like, Fight Club, where he splices in
the pornography.
Of,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really funny and it was kind of interesting to see that.
Well,
kind
maybe
of
kids will, it'll teach kids to, you know, mind their parents or they'll get drowned in a river.
I mean, I guess.
That's the lesson we were supposed to learn from La Llorona, right? There, that's that's what it was.
Yeah, you're right. Don't be a kid. Okay. That's what I remember. Okay. Don't be a kid. Speaking of kids, in the past, we were all kids, and that's why I'm going to talk about American Horror Story 1984.
Oh my gosh, you're just on fire.
I know. We're going way too fast, though, so I'm going to try to slow down. But we have a lot of really
good
stuff to talk about.
Just talk slower sentences.
So that would be a very boring podcast.
Oh, this is the worst. I immediately regret it.
So I'm not a huge fan of American Horror Story, and I'm actually kind of actively despise it since I'm blaming it for Channel Zero getting knocked off the air. But I am a demon with a heart, so I'm willing to allow new information to come into my head and make decisions based off of that new information. And American Horror Story 1984 has been touted as having a lot of really cool 80s horror references, and that's like one of my favorite genres of horror. So I'm kind of interested.
It was a good decade.
Yeah, it was. I'm kind of interested to see it because, I mean, some of the actors that are normally in American Horror Story aren't coming back, and this seems like kind of like a fresh slate after Apocalypse, you know, because Apocalypse was kind of an endgame-ish scenario, I assume, and it had a lot of tie-ins from other episodes or other things, and I'm not sure if 84 has any tie-ins or not. I don't know yet, but I don't know. I might check it out.
Yeah, I'd have to, you know, it's one of those, you gotta prove it to me. Like, I'll see it, I'll believe it when I see it kind of a thing, because, like, I've become very jaded by American Horror Story since, I don't know, I can't even remember which season I gave up, but I just got tired of the ridiculously choppy storytelling and just off-the-cuff character development that's just, like, it doesn't make almost like half of the season doesn't make any sense, and you're supposed to like somehow piece it together. I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, like, yeah, they almost had too many episodes for their own good. Like, they hurt themselves by trying to, like, Game of Thrones themselves, I guess. There's a topical reference.
I just remember that one in the, that was like in the psych ward or something that was run by
nuns
or whatever. And it would have like aliens in one scene and people getting abducted, and then literally 30 seconds later, it's like talking about the devil possessing somebody, and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, I would have to say
that
the seasons become a little bit more... Okay, so I've watched more seasons after that. Roanoke was pretty interesting, but I never finished it. But it didn't have the same problem as the first two seasons have, where it was just like a massive tornado of horror themes. And, like, I normally wouldn't really enjoy that, but if it's 1984 stuff, it has a chance to be, like, The Thing, and, like, Stranger Things-esque, and, like, slasher movie, and Freddy Krueger, and that kind of stuff, right? It has a chance to be supernatural and interesting at the same time, while, you know, not just being a mishmash of weird things that have happened in asylums or a haunted house. I don't know. I'm willing to give it a chance.
I mean, at the very least, if it has at least carries those themes and concepts into it, it could be mindlessly entertaining. At the very least.
That's true. But FX doesn't only make American Horror Story. They also make another little show that I watched the first episode of last week and ended up buying the entire season of, called What We Do in the Shadows. It's good. I think if you like the show, you'll 100% love this season, and it's where it ends is awesome. They have, if you haven't seen any of the posts yet and like got a little bit spoiled, there's about to be a spoiler I'll talk about. It's not huge, it's just that it has to do with who's in the last episode of the season. So, you know, here's your chance to turn it off and fast forward.
Is Peter not dead?
I don't know, Peter might be dead if he's not in the show. But they do have, like, they have this scene at the end. And do you mind if I talk about it? It's not really a story spoiler. So,
go for it.
At some point during it, a vampire gets killed, right? And that's a big deal to vampires. So they get on trial, and they have to go meet the council. And you're, like, trying to figure out who the council are. And they have, like, David Batista, and he's, like, a vampire. And then you figure out that he's just being held by the council. And you're like, oh, okay, so that's not the council. And then the council is actually, like, Tilda Swinton. Some other actor, the guy who plays Pee Wee Herman as an adult, Wesley Snipes is like the Daywalker, and then the three vampires from the original movie are
like
in
Jermaine,
it. Those three, and they're the council trying to get it. But Tilda Swinton and Wesley Snipes and those actors and actresses are actually themselves, like. They're themselves,
awesome.
And it's really funny, and I 100%, I mean, that episode alone is good, but the whole season is interesting. I mean, again, the first episode proved that, like, they can take a theme and make it interesting without having to do what the show did again, and they did it, the whole season did it. It was absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Watch it. I'll give you my Prime cred so you can watch it.
Sweet.
Because it's legit good. And I hope they make a second season, and I think they already have been greenlit for it, but I'm really excited for it, and I will keep watching that show until they stop making it. Which,
yes.
I hope is in another Channel Zero.
Yes, I'm actually going to do a little segue of my own and go off the cuff from our notes.
Whoa.
But speaking of Amazon Prime, there is a horror movie that was actually on my list of top 10 most anticipated horror movies of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it made it. If it didn't, it was in the honorable mentions. But it's called The Hole in the Ground.
I saw your written review about that. I didn't read it, though, because I can't read.
Oh, well. We'll have to remedy that someday. But... you're missing out on a lot of good foreign horror films.
Yeah, I know.
If you can't get
it. It's funny. What was I doing the other day that something had subtitles that was hard for me to pay attention to? I don't remember what it was, but I literally said that to someone. I was like, I was watching it, but it was really hard to pay attention to because of all the subtitles.
It's a struggle for all of us. It was... The Hole in the Ground is about a lady who... moves into a secluded cabin. Imagine that, or a secluded house, with her.
Is it a cabin or a house?
It's a house because it's Ireland. Okay. So it's you can have a secluded house and it's like an actual house because it's Ireland.
Just like The Hollow.
And yes, actually, that's the only slight downside to it is that it's almost exactly like The Hollow.
Sounds awesome.
So like, yeah, no, it's pretty great. So it's like her 10-year-old son.
It.
Oh, I loved it. Okay. Yeah, the kid goes missing. In the night and like comes back and she's like concerned that it's not her son anymore. And so it's got a little bit more of a... It's definitely a slower-paced film than The Hallow. Mm-hmm. It's way less action-packed. It's got a more of a pacing and, like, delivery similar to that of, like, The Babadook.
Duck, duck.
But it's got, like, this concept and synopsis that's very similar to The Hallow. And so, like, with those two things combined, you're like, eh, I don't know, how could it be that good? But I just thought it was... I thought the build was really good. I actually thought that the pacing was a little bit better than The Babadook. And
honestly, I didn't really like The Babadook after watching it. Like, it didn't do enough of what I wanted it to do, and therefore I held that against it, which isn't fair to it. So I get why people
It's the metaphor that they use in it for grief that I really liked, that I thought was really well done.
It's the annoying kid that really messes it up for me.
It drives so many people crazy. You're not alone there. But yeah, the climax of the hole in the ground is great. I thought that whole thing was done really well. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I thought it was really well done. Especially because it's like, I mean, again, it's not like The Hallow where you're gonna get the monsters about like halfway through for the rest of the movie.
Mm.
It's not that kind of a movie. But I thought the payoff was great. It did have my one complaint, which sucks. My one complaint is that, like, right in the middle of the film, she has kind of this mental breakdown, and the scene is just terribly done. Like, it just should not have been in the movie. It doesn't fit with the rest of the movie. It's very cliche. Like, I'm like, man, if you'd have just taken that scene out, this movie would be almost perfect. But you put this stupid scene in the middle, and...
Well, at least it's just one scene. I mean, there's other movies that are guilty
of
worse than that.
It's true. But yeah, it just, like, reminded me of, like, you know, there's, like, here, I'm gonna give a, you know, a personal experience from my childhood before I was a serial killer. So when I was getting my driver's license,
That was that, like, you killed somebody during your driver's test? Is that where you failed it, or was that before you...
Oh, no. Okay. No, this is, like, this, it was just this moment that, or it's this, it was kind of this, like, life experience where... It helped, this movie helped me realize this situation. So when I'm taking my driver's test, I'm going through it, and I made one mistake on the driver's test. And so when we were done, I had, like, you know, a 97 out of 100 or whatever it was. And the instructor just could not drop that I missed 3 points or whatever. And he was just like, man, I just really wish you could have gotten that perfect 100. That I just really wish that you could have gotten that perfect 100. That would have been really awesome if you could have just gotten 100. I'm like, I got my driver's license? Like, I almost did it perfect. And I think that your, you know, personal note, I thought that the error that he wrote me down for was incorrect. But, I mean, like, that's fine. But I'm like, it's a 90.
And that's why you ended up killing him as your first kill.
But we won't get into that. But the 97 out of 100, I'm like, that's really good. Why is he hung up on this one little error? And then after watching the hole in the ground, I was like, that's why. When you're so close to perfect, you're just hung up on this one bad part, and you can't drop it, and it just makes it so much bigger in your head. You're just like, if you just hadn't have done that stupid scene, this movie would have been so much better. It would have been 100, but now it's just a 97. So there you go. That's my story.
There you go. Okay, so, you know, if you're going to go for 100, go for 100. If you're not going to shoot for 100, just stick
yeah,
it in.
Yeah, like. Yeah. Then the bad parts kind of just get muddled within the rest, and you don't notice it as much.
All right, so let's move on to something that I think definitely didn't miss the mark. Yeah, that was pretty good, right? All right, Black Mirror's coming out soon, June 5th. Actually, I want to talk about Netflix in general, but Black Mirror's the first thing. Black Mirror is a really good show, and if you haven't watched it, I highly suggest it. It's got a lot of really good, interesting topics that have to do with technology and how we interact with it. And they're doing a kind of a, again, we reference Game of Thrones, because apparently it's a paradigm in television, but they're doing like a five episode season five, that comes out June 5th or something like that, which is kind of coincidental now that I...
Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah, that's
okay,
interesting. Good.
It's 6555. Okay. Anyway, you really messed that up, Netflix. Yeah, go watch it. Black Mirror's good. You should go watch Black Mirror on June 5th. We'll try to watch Black Mirror for the episode before or after that and kind of talk about it.
Yeah, I mean,
I
would say if I was doing quick math in my head that, like, of 10 episodes, 9 of them are good.
Oh, so it's only like, you know, 90%.
Like, seven of them are great. So, I mean, it's got a, for me, it's got a very, very high success rate.
Fair enough.
And it's, I'm looking forward to it. I'll watch them all day.
Me too. One of the other things I want to talk about just real quick on Netflix isn't a new show. It's a show that just got canceled, actually, which kind of sucks. It's called Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes.
And I didn't start watching that show for a long time. I kept seeing Drew Barrymore and I think that's who it is. Yeah. And some of the other people, and I was like, okay, I don't need to watch this show. I need to watch this show. And as soon as I started watching it, I binged two seasons in like a day or two because it is hilarious and it is awesome. And it is great. And I won't spoil any more than that. If you've ever had the inkling or been on the edge about watching Santa Clarita Diet, go do it. There's no more new episodes coming out unless someone else picks it up. So it's done. And it sucks that it's done because it didn't really finish itself. But maybe there'll be a movie or something. Or five episode Wait. Final season.
Oh, you just made me have kind of a question. Like, we've seen several times where, like, a show on, like, regular television, like cable or satellite or whatever, gets canceled and gets picked up by a streaming service? Mm-hmm. Has it ever gone the other way around? Has there ever been a streaming service show? I wonder if the copyrights are different.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why we haven't ever seen that. But
or just,
anyways,
like, the streaming service shows are still new and, like, network TV doesn't really want to invest in, like, potential for that stuff to... I don't know, if it's, like, different markets, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a good idea. But yeah, Santa Clarita, it's good. Black Mirror's coming out. Netflix, keep up the good work, as always.
Yes. Yeah, especially when it comes to television.
Yeah, seriously.
Like TV shows.
So let's talk about movies the rest of the time. I think we have some movies to chat about. James Wan is producing a new Mortal Kombat movie, which it sounds fucking nuts, and I'm all for it. And I think I'll probably watch it regardless if it's good or bad.
Yeah, I think
that combination sounds cool. Yeah.
It's hard for me to picture James Wan just completely making it, just like completely dropping the ball on something. Like, I don't think everything he's done has been like flawless perfect, but almost everything he's touched, especially when it comes to horror things, has been pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So that Mortal Kombat's in good hands. If it can't be done well with him, then chances are it won't be.
It needs to be rated R, though. He needs to stop pulling the PG-13 punches. It's only produced by him, so we'll see. But
Conjuring was R. He can do it.
Yeah, he can do it. Also, weird news today. Two things today I learned. The Child's Play got rated R, which I'm thumbs-upping right now, but you can't see it. Very excited.
And if you couldn't tell that from the trailer, I mean, it looks like it.
Yeah, you're right. and they actually did a segment somewhere where you can watch the, like, six different animatronic robots they used for the movie, which it just makes me excited. So,
awesome.
Child's Play, still in our radar. Not something we thought at the beginning of the year that would be really good, but I really kind of hope it makes one of our top tens.
Me too.
And
I'm
thus, it
to
made
it.
My top ten. No, I'm just kidding. But the other thing that I thought was interesting today that I saw was that Chris Rock is going to remake or reboot the Saw series. Chris Rock, like, the comedian.
I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest. I go for it, I don't care. I don't think that Saw is sacred ground. Go for it.
I don't even like the extra Saws enough to think it needs to be remade or rebooted.
No, I mean, it's not that old. I mean, I would say that would probably be the only thing that, why you wouldn't touch it, but it's not out of respect for Saw, it's just out of principle of original filmmaking.
Well, and like
it's not old enough to, and the original is good enough that I don't know why would you not touch it.
That's what I thought. So the original is really good, but where Saw went was very bad in my opinion.
It just went to torture porn.
Yeah, and I don't really watch that stuff. So,
yeah.
As much as you know, that's why I'm not a demon. That's a torturer in hell. I just drive a bus, so I didn't want to. You know, I don't want to live that life. But remaking Saw, it can be really interesting or really weird. I don't think it'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, like, does he... I didn't bother to look into this before we started, but, like, has he done anything? Does he have any...
I don't know.
I haven't heard
anything else,
but
he was going to reboot it. That's it.
I mean, I think that he's... he may have had a tinge... may have had a touch of directing in some comedies or dramedies.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know if he's... he definitely hasn't touched horror, and, like, I don't want to judge him too harshly on that, because, obviously, Key and Peele, we've seen what... Jordan Peele has done since Key and Peele. Although I would say that Peele's appeal towards horror was very evident in Key and Peele. You could see that transition. And I would not say the same for Chris Rock. But hey, I mean, more power to him. I don't care.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a mystery. But another thing that's a mystery is another movie that we're going to talk about. It's called Ad Astra.
Yes. So this movie is stars Brad Pitt, and I've heard a couple of different synopses, which almost sound like two different movies, but it basically, if I were to like maybe merge the two synopses together, his dad, it's like in the near future-ish, and his dad is like on Neptune trying to like investigate some like alien life or something, possibility of alien life, and like he doesn't return and nobody can communicate with him, and so Brad Pitt goes out to find him, but it's like I think the quote was like in a lawless solar system or something, so there's like outposts throughout our solar system and there's less law there, it sounds like, I guess, and his dad found some kind of like, I think it implies that he found some kind of alien technology that like threatens humanity or something.
And his dad is Tommy Lee Jones, by the way, which is kind of interesting.
Which is awesome, because, I mean, how old is that guy? I mean, I think he's older than he looks, but he looks like he's 105.
Yeah.
Anyways, I love Tommy Lee Jones. But the weird part about this movie is that you now, as a listener, know as much about this movie as I do. They have, like, one shot, as far as I could find, they have one shot of Brad Pitt in his spacesuit.
That's the poster-y kind of thing that I've seen.
Yeah, and it's like a poster-y type thing. There aren't any screenshots, there are no trailers, there's no extended synopsis. And on top of it all, this movie was originally supposed to be released this month, at the end of this month.
Actually, it was originally supposed to be released in June.
June. And then it got moved up to May, and now it's all the way out to September, I believe.
Yeah.
And but I'm pretty sure the change to September happened this month, late last month. And so, like, all of this change in due date happened really late, which is usually a sign, especially with no marketing, this is usually a sign of a movie not, like, this wasn't a good movie. So far, the two most prominent excuses used are that they wanted to refine the special effects more, so no, and that, like, or at least it wasn't implied that there were going to be any reshoots, it's just special effects work, and that this movie, I believe, is owned by Fox, and because of the merger with Disney recently, they kind of reworked their schedules so that their own movies wouldn't conflict with each other, because now they're pulling from the same pot, and so they moved it out to September. So the second reason definitely makes a lot of sense. The special effects one sounds a little off to me, because it's like you thought earlier in the month you were going to make it, and now you're like, yeah, now we're not. I don't know how that flies for me, but...
Yeah, like, what were you doing that was so confusing that you, like were you, like, testing? I don't know. Like, were you screen testing it, and you're like, well, it needs more effects work, sir? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird, man.
Yeah, I'm as I told Ifrit, I feel like the optimist in me is really hoping that the reason we haven't heard anything about this movie is because its story and its, like, twist or whatever, its climax, is so good that they're counting entirely on word of mouth to save it. Kind of like 10 Cloverfield Lane, where you heard nothing about it. Sunshine. And, yeah, like, you just heard nothing about those movies practically before they came out, and then... Now, Sunshine, unfortunately, I love that movie, but Sunshine didn't have the success that 10 Cloverfield Lane did with word of mouth, but I'm kind of hoping that that's the direction that it's going.
Well, like, I guess Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse kind of had a word of mouth thing going.
It did, because, I mean, it was... I would agree with that, because I feel like it had some marketing, but it wasn't, like, strong marketing on a story or anything. It was just like, hey, look, an animated Spider-Man movie, you want to go see it? Like, that's basically what it was.
Yeah, people were like, hell yeah, I want to go see it. It was amazing. I heard it was great.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to stop there because we're at, like, the time, and we could probably talk about the next two things for another 20 minutes. So, next time.
Next time on Sickle and Ifrit, we're going to talk about the Dust Walker and my new segment.
I'm a pretentious horror fan, and I'm going to call out losers that haven't seen movies that I've seen.
It's a good segment.
Splinter. Oh, sorry.
Great. All right. Well,
So, anyway, thanks for listening. Like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you feel about the news this week. And we'll see you next time. Let us know if you know anything about Ad Astra, too, because...
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, we've got... obligations. He's driving buses, and I'm, I don't know, killing people or something.
Doing whatever serial killers who are dead do.
Yeah, that, try to kill undead people, and it doesn't work out too well. it's a pretty frustrating...
I told you, you could have a bus job.
It's a pretty frustrating unlife that I live. I don't know. But, I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh, yeah.
We don't get to know as much as you might know.
Yeah, sometimes we don't get to investigate everything super detailed and everything. So, you know, there's stuff out there. Go find it. Like cryptids. If you can come to us with any proof of cryptids, we would love that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
See ya.